Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
So CBS Sports and ESPN both put out lists. Now, CBS Sports, Rob, their list was put together by their staff of CBS basketball analysts, and it included some former NBA players, Rajah Bell, Rip Hamilton, who you know well from Detroit, and Avery Johnson, who was our former colleague at the old place, but very good player, champion, good coach, and now coaching in college. But they put together their list, and then ESPN, I imagine they just had their staff put together their list, and they're doing like a longer list. Yeah, top 74, because it's the 74th NBA season. So they're doing their top 74, and they'll release their top 10, I guess, next week or later this week. But anyway, both lists, Rob, had Steph Curry ranked as the 13th best player of all time. I don't want to haggle over, is he 13th, is he 14th, 15th, 12th, whatever. I do think he's in the top 15. I'm fine having him be listed as a top 15 player. His accomplishments are so great that I think he warrants it. I think individually, he's obviously been great. Now, do I think he's going to, you know, if they had a one-on-one tournament, do I think he'd finish 13th? No. You know, but the 13th best, most accomplished player in NBA history, I'm fine with it, or, you know, in the top 15, because individually, his record is great. I mean, he's averaged a ton of points. He, you know, is the two-time MVP back-to-back. He, you know, we talk about Jordan a lot, Rob, how he went to Chicago and built a dynasty. Steph went to Golden State, a moribund franchise. They had won championship in 75 with Rick Barry. But since then, they've been pretty much atrocious. They've had a few little seasons here and there, but they were a bottom-rung franchise. And around him, they were able to build themselves into a dynasty. Individually, he's the first ever. He shouldn't be, but he is the first ever player to win, you know, unanimous MVP. I think he's the best. I really think I was the first person to say this, Rob, but I may not have been, but I think I was the first person on the air to say he's the best shooter in NBA history. But now that's kind of widely accepted. And so individually, he's got the track record, the resume. Team-wise, he's got three championships. He went to five straight finals. That is incredible in this day and age. He was, you know, he's one of, you know, three small players, Gus Williams, Isaiah Thomas, and himself, to lead teams to championships. One of only two to lead teams to multiple championships, joining Isaiah Thomas. And so I think his record speaks for itself. And then historically, he changed the game. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. When people wonder what happened to the big man, why don't teams play inside out anymore? It's because of Steph Curry. I remember when they first met the Cavs in the finals in 2015. And I went to LeBron James after one of the practices or shoot arounds or something. And I said, do they remind you of the Spurs who had just beaten LeBron in the Miami Heat in the finals a year earlier? He said, no. He laughed. He's like, nah. They're a jump shooting team, man. And, you know, nah, jump shooting team. It's hard to win championships. And, of course, now that's all we have are jump shooting teams for the most part. So Steph has changed the game. Now you see guys taking 35, 40 footers like it's nothing. And so I just think even when you tell the story of basketball, he's going to be on that first page because you eventually will get to, you know, and then in the 2010s, the game changed and it became perimeter oriented and 3-point heavy and all that. And Steph Curry is the driving force behind that. Now, I neither of these lists had Kevin Durant ahead of Steph, and obviously Steph's more accomplished, but Kevin Durant's a better basketball player. I mean, he's a 7-foot version of Steph. You know, great shooter, go off the bounce, do everything you need to do offensively, and then a better defender than Steph. So I would have him ahead of Steph, but I think Steph belongs in the top 15. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I have a big problem with it. I just think it's just where we are in society. It's the same thing that we battle every day about people trying to rewrite NBA history and poo-poo what people did in the past because you don't have videotape of it, or it's harder to sell to people or get people. If they just put out the top 15 and say other than LeBron, there was no other player in that list, it's not an appealing list. It just doesn't move anybody to want to talk about it. So I do get that. Kevin Durant being behind him. Again, Steph is more likable. Steph is cute and the kids love him. And there's a lot of other things that have nothing to do with basketball. His accomplishments and his place in the game, Chris, shouldn't have anything to do with who's better talent-wise. Steph, they ignore that Steph doesn't play defense. I know a lot of guys don't. But when you're nitpicking about putting guys and saying they're one of the greatest 10 or 12 or 15 players ever, you should look at everything. The idea that he hasn't won an NBA finals MVP, that should count in. There's a lot of other things that I think you could look at. The idea that Steph could be 13 and Isaiah Thomas is 31st on whatever list that was, I don't remember which one, that invalidates the list to me. That makes the list hard for me to swallow, hard for me to comprehend, hard for me to buy into the whole notion that this is on the up and up or it's legit, or because people are... It's just like, Chris, when ESPN came out with the greatest athlete, or I can't remember, was it?
You mean when they were doing the Sports Centuries back?
Yeah,
about 20 years ago?
Yeah, and Michael Jordan was bigger than Muhammad Ali and Jackie Robinson. And as great as Michael is, I just thought those guys, when you talk about the totality of everything that was involved, I wasn't so sure Michael fit there. But I get it. I get it.
Well,
nobody wants to talk about...
He was... I mean, you're right. If you take in significance the field, yeah, there's no question that they meant more. But just if they tried to do it just in terms of as an athlete, oh, he'd be ahead of Jackie Robinson and Ali, I think.
But that wasn't what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be like... I thought it was bigger than that, like impact. Because then if that was the case,
yeah,
then
in
maybe...
in that case, you wouldn't...
And if that's the case, if it was just athletics, I don't... Is Ali there? Why would number two be the boxer? I just forgot his name.
Floyd Mayweather?
Floyd Mayweather. I mean, if you're just going on that and it's not about the other things, Ali lost 4 or 5 fights. He wasn't undefeated or something. So I'm just saying that I see the way these things are skewed. And sometimes the other list, which we didn't talk about with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, what was
we're going to get into that.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to get into
that. That's the other list. When I see the all-time leading scorer in the NBA is not even considered like he's going, like he was a scrub or he scored points for a bad team.
Far,
but he scored points for a bad team that never won. Maybe something that, you know, calling like, it'd be like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar being the Dave Kingman of the NBA. Do you know what I mean, Chris?
Right, right.
Where Dave Kingman hit 470 home runs but batted 220 and nobody ever thought he was the greatest player in baseball. That's kind of like what they've done to Kareem lately, and I find some of that disturbing.
No, I agree with that. We'll get into the Kareem, but I think the list is legit. You know, I don't buy that they're only trying to get modern day players in, or, you know, they're trying to appeal to, you know, Steph's in because he's cute to kids. I mean, Steph has done incredible things and he's changed the game. I mean, it's legit.
I just don't have Isaiah ahead of him.
Well, but that's you. But most people don't. You know, I don't. And I've, you know, I've always had Isaiah as the best small player. But,
Isaiah,
you know, if we,
top
if we
50
really,
player, Hall of Famer.
And they'll both
we talk
be top
about
50.
All the stuff.
They'll both be
no,
top 50.
No, he can't
50.
Be top 50. He'll be in the next group or whatever.
Well, we'll see
top
who
75.
Does their league. They do. I mean, I agree that for Isaiah to be 31, I think he should be much higher than that. I think he should be top 25 for sure. Remember, Bleacher Report came out with a list, what, 6-7 months ago? And he was 47th. Isaiah does get short shrift on these recent lists. But
why do
and
you
part
think
of
so?
It,
why,
I think some. Think so? I think there's two reasons. One, well, the main reason is because, and this goes to the point, Rob, about this list in general. A lot of these, now you got, I mentioned a few of the former players and all that, and it'd be interesting to see where they had Steph. But as far as the staffs, the writers, the reporters, a lot of them, if not most of them, Rob, are heavily influenced by the analytics. And that's what they're looking at. That they are looking at the analytics, and Steph obviously is great analytically, and Isaiah wasn't tremendous analytically. Kobe wasn't tremendous analytically. So I think that's why the
but that's
these
not going to stop
lists,
Kobe from being on a list. Is
no,
what I'm
but
saying.
These he was 9 on or 10 on CBS Sports' list, and so. You know, that's a lot of people would think that's kind of low for Kobe. So, but I agree. I think the Isaiah, and then I think the second thing, Rob, is he wasn't on the dream team. And for writers and people that didn't really know, you know, they were maybe young at that time when he was in the 80s as a great player in the league, they just look at, well, he wasn't, you know, that dream team had all the best players from that era and he wasn't on it. I really think that's part of where that damaged Isaiah. You know, in that travesty, we both agree on that he wasn't on that dream team. But I think Steph's earned it. I mean, like I said, he's, you know, he created a dynasty. And, you know, we'll never know what would have happened in those 2 years or 2 or 3 years had Kevin Durant never gone to Golden State. Would they have come back and won another title or two without him? I think so. But, you know, I can't prove it. We won't know that. But I do know that team – In the third year, in March of that third year with Durant, in games he didn't play and Steph did, they were 25-1. I mean, they rolled with Steph and no Durant, and I think they would have continued rolling had Durant never gone there. But
see,
I
look at
Durant's
the exact opposite.
Player.
After they lost the finals, I don't think that they would have won again. I really don't. I think LeBron would have had a chance to win more championships without – having to deal with Kevin Durant. I believe that.
He certainly would have had a chance. I mean, they would have met. I think those
teams
had
no chance.
They lost in the finals.
LeBron lost eight games to one in those two finals.
Right.
With Durant.
Once they got Durant, it was a wrap.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Nick Wright. What is up, man? Host of First Things First, our great colleague here at FS1.
Is it Nick
He's
Wright
in my
or Nick
Raw? Punching bag every Monday morning, my punching bag, except for yesterday because I was off. But
apologies, you couldn't be on yesterday. We missed you. Antoine Walker did a great job in your stead. Rob Parker, great to talk to you. It's great to be on one of the three best radio shows of any format in America. Thank you guys for having me.
Well, thank you, brother. That. And that means, and I'm not even being funny, Nick. That means a lot coming from you because,
yeah, that's
you know, you were a great
radio
man.
Guy.
You still do radio, but right. You know, now you're TV. But let's get to the Last Dance. And I didn't see the show this morning, so I didn't see your, you know, what your takes are yesterday.
Yeah.
But what is your general? I guess let's go to 7 and 8. What was your one, if you can say there was one major takeaway you got from episode 7 and 8? What was it?
Ooh, Broussard, can I give two? Can
yep,
I give my two
yep.
biggest takeaways? All right, so I'll do them in chronological order. One was in August of 1993, when Michael Jordan retired, Tom Brokaw, Connie Chung, Dan Patrick, the people that
exactly
made the statue, everyone in the world was, correctly, with respect to Kareem, but correctly saying, this is the greatest player ever. And I, you know me, I'm a numbers guy, so I had to go check Basketball Reference. I'm like, but wait, how? How is everyone saying he's the greatest player ever? He has three rings. Magic has five. Kareem has six. Bird has as many. Bird has the same number of MVPs. Wilt's got more. Russell's got more. I'm so confused. And then I realized, oh, while I don't think many things were better in the olden days, if you will, if the mid-90s are the olden days, evidently our ability to logically look at things and just say, oh, eye test, this guy's the best I've ever seen, was far better than it is now, because now it's just count the rings, you have six rings, you don't have six rings, you suck, you ain't in. So that was one takeaway. And the other takeaway was, I've been told by, you know, basketball savants such as Rob Parker, that my whole life, reading him in the newspaper and listening to radio shows and now working with him, that one of the things that set Michael Jordan apart was, gosh darn it, win or lose, it's happening on my shot. I'm taking the shot. I'm not going to let someone else determine my fate. It's one of the things that makes him special. And then in 1995, double nickel, double overtime, Jordan's having a great game, tie game. They double team sent to him, and I saw Michael Jordan pass the ball to Bill Winnington. And in that same season, 19, game one of Eastern Conference Finals, Nick Anderson steals it, Bulls up one, now they're down one, but still, chance to have redemption, free throw line jumper, but a double comes to him, and Jordan passes it. Now, that one went out of bounds, but it's just a bad pass that could happen to anybody. So I was just confused, because two things that I've just been told are rules of being the greatest ever. One, you must have the most rings in the modern era. Two, you must take the shot no matter the defensive situation. I saw Jordan go the other way on both. So
Nick,
those are my
let me stop you.
Yeah.
Because obviously it does matter with the result.
Nick, and when, fight as always.
When LeBron gave up the basketball, he's lost six finals. That's why people don't want the guys that he's trusting and giving the ball to.
Who brought up LeBron?
You brought up LeBron. Nobody wants to see that. They don't want Draymond Green. And what was it? He had 51 points in that game one against the Warriors, having his best playoff game. Draymond Green in front of him, or was it Steph?
Steph.
Steph was in front of him, who couldn't guard him, and instead he wanted to give up the basketball instead of taking it at Steph. That's when people – no. The results haven't worked out. Michael's results have worked out.
Except, of course, when the results have worked out, you then also hold that against him because Kyrie saved him and Ray saved him. And damn it, it's just not fair that LeBron's teammates get to make shots. I agree with you. LeBron would have no rings if his teammates weren't allowed to make shots. And maybe when the NBA resumes, it should come back. But I don't know why you felt the need, Rob, to shoehorn LeBron into this. We were talking about Michael Jordan.
We know where you. We already know where you fit in,
Nick. I actually agree with the points you made. I said it. Now I think we have different takes, but I said one of my instant takeaways too was that after, and I remember it as a fan, but just seeing it on here with Tom Brokaw, as you mentioned, Chauncey Chung, Dan Patrick, Jerry Reinsdorf, who may be biased, obviously, is the owner. But, you know, all these people were saying he is the greatest player ever. And he had only had three rings.
Sports.
Now, I do think he was.
Right. Sport player ever.
He was getting major accolades. Now, the other thing I agree with, I've pointed that out many a time to Skip Bayless, so you're right on the money with him, and Rob Parker, for that matter, passing the ball in certain situations. But let me ask you this. You may agree with Rob on this. Steph Curry, you probably saw CBS Sports and ESPN came out with their rankings of, you know, the all-time basketball players, and they both had Steph Curry 13th. Too high, too low, just right.
No. I haven't looked.
You didn't see it.
That's abhorrent. That's an outrage. Listen, you can argue that you're way too high, by the way. Way too high. Top 13? No, come on. Listen, now I'm acting this outrage. I might think he's 23. It's not like I have him outside
23.
Of the top 60.
So I know you have a list.
No, right. But so listen, but the list, here is the reason that I had that violent reaction. You can argue about the order. But the top 14 players in NBA history is undebatable. Argue with me about the order if you want, but the names are LeBron, Michael, Kareem, Magic, Russell, Wilt, Duncan, Kobe, Bird, West, Oscar, Hakeem, Shaq, Moses. Those are your 14. Now, who's 15?
You could put him. I think he's in the top 15. Like you said, whether 13, 15, okay. Whatever.
Okay,
I would
so
put him ahead. I would put him at two guys on your list. I would put him ahead of Jerry West and Moses.
Okay. All right. So you have him ahead of them. So, but then hold on a second. You also have to have him ahead of.
I have Durant ahead of him, ahead of Steph,
right,
too.
Well, I was going to say Durant, then Dr. J has to be discussed in this, I would imagine. Elgin Baylor wonders, does he count? There's an LA, you know, Charles Barkley, I don't think he's there. Karl Malone, I don't think he's there. Dirk with the sixth most points ever, a ring, finals MVP, league MVP. Dirk's at least, you know, shouting from the rooftops, he should be considered. So, yeah, 13's too high. 13's too high. Come on, Steph. His career's not over, but 13's too high right now. I think Steph versus Durant is a really interesting debate.
I think Durant's a better player, but, you know, obviously Steph's more accomplished. But go ahead.
Yeah, but we've seen it. I'm in the Durant camp all the way. We saw what happened when he got to that team. Steph had to take a back seat because he was being nice. Durant's just a better player. And we saw it in the finals.
I agree Durant's a better player, but it is Durant's team that blew a 3-1 lead to Steph's.
It was Steph's team.
You can't argue that Durant didn't have help.
But wait a minute.
Steph
blew a 3-1 lead the first time ever in the history of the NBA Finals,
right, but
Nick.
The only reason that could happen was because Durant had blown one of his own in an earlier round. And I know, Rob, you do this really weird math,
yes,
where where blowing a 3-1 lead in the finals is somehow a worse indictment than if you'd done it
in
the first round.
It is, Nick. What do you mean? Of course it is.
But,
it's a worse indictment.
You see what I deal with, Nick?
You know, it is so – every time I come on this show, we hit this roadblock and it sidetracks the entire interview.
No, we don't want to do that, Rob Parker.
I want Rob Parker to say this out loud and to acknowledge this. What you are saying is that it was good for Kobe Bryant, the late great Kobe Bryant, that he blew a 3-1 first round lead to the Phoenix Suns, rather than if he had carried that Sasha Pavlovich team all the way to the finals and then gotten beat.
No.
It sounds so.
That's true.
That's not what I'm saying.
If he blew a 3-1 lead in the finals,
that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. Nick, when you talk about the GOAT, you nitpick, you go through a player's career.
But that's not in the GOAT.
No, but I'm just saying, when you try to put him on that level, and no other great player, Nick, that team won 73 games.
Right.
That team never lost more than. Hold on. Never lost more than two games in a row. They lost three in a row. All you need is Steph to win you one game out of three.
Two of
those games were at home, and he couldn't do it.
But none of the other great players that you're talking about, on the flip side, had to do what Durant did, which is go to a minted champion that already had an MVP in order to get a title.
Right.
I think Durant might be better than him. But that's got to be part of the story, too.
Quickly, Nick, we got about a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Maybe a minute. Sure. Will there be an asterisk, assuming we have this season, NBA season, in your opinion, will there be an asterisk by the championship?
Well, listen, there's going to be people like Rob Parker that are going to reverse engineer the answer, which is if LeBron loses, the season counts. If LeBron wins, it doesn't. So, if the team that he had picked to win, like, that's what's going to happen. I assume Rob was on Kawhi all year. So, if the Clippers win, it counts. It's real. It's as good as anything. If LeBron wins, asterisk. Here's what I believe. If somehow we end up with a Mavericks Heat, you know, NBA Finals, for oddly the third time, then I think people will say, okay, something weird happened. Like, this isn't really the way it was going to go. But if we have a finals, that if we have a champion that is the Lakers, the Bucks, the Clippers, hell, even the Rockets, the Raptors, any of the teams that I think are legitimate chances going into it, then I don't think people will affix an asterisk to it. If we get a Lakers-Bucks finals, that was what we thought we were going to get before the whole thing happened. So the only reason I think there'd be an asterisk is if all of a sudden, like what happened in the 50-game season, the 8 seed makes the damn finals. And it's like, well, that's a little odd. So
great point. That's a good point.
Think it's going to happen. I do think there are going to be some people, a couple of whom we might work with for starters, who are going to hedge their asterisk bets because they want to make sure if LeBron wins, there's an asterisk. But if he loses, he can't use it as an excuse. So they're going to put a semi-asterisk down so they can make sure no matter what, LeBron doesn't get credit or he can get crushed the way they
no.
want him.
No, can I say because one last thing?
Much like my first answer, Rob. I was just talking Jordan. I didn't even think about LeBron.
Here's
got
my
LeBron
one.
So far in the mind, you had to bring him up.
My one last thing, and I know we got to go, but it's just like you LeBron minions who try to discount when he lost the first time he went in 2007. You guys say, well, you can't count that loss because he was young or whatever. They count because had he won, you would count it. Period.
Yep, everything counts. All losses count. Like you in for your seventh straight debate against me on this topic. Lost. Talk to you guys next time.
Never. And you want some of that Doug Gottlieb whoop ass I gave out.
Those two titles to with Durant, they would have counted too, right? Right?
Yeah, of course.
All right. That's a little inside joke with me and Rob. All right, yeah, that's our man, Nick Wright, host of First Things First. Great job,
all right, Nick,
man.
Thank you.
Catch him every morning on FS1, bright and early, 8 a.m. First Things First, Nick Wright. All right, my man, thank you.
Yep, bye.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, Shaquille O'Neal came out a few days ago and said he thinks they should just cancel the rest of the season and get ready for next year. And you sound like you agree with him. What's your take?
It just depends on how long you're going. I don't believe in starting a basketball season in August, if that's what you're telling me. Like, after LeBron hasn't played for 4 months, that's what I'm looking at, Chris. Like, trying to restart after such a long layoff. That's what I would be concerned about, and health and safety and injuries, you know, like trying to restart after being on the sidelines. And it's not like we're in tip-top shape. We can flip the switch and start the season tomorrow.
Right.
You have to restart everything, like start training camp in 3 weeks and then get going again. That's what I'm – if this was a delay, everybody was still working out in their camps, Chris, you know, and training facilities, that would be totally different. This is so off the beaten path, and most people don't have the gym, the facilities, and all the other stuff to stay. I'm talking about
the players,
NBA player caliber ready. Not they're in better shape than the average Joes, right?
Right.
But are they in NBA shape?
Running around your
it.
Neighborhood on the treadmill or whatever you got at your house, that's not going to be in NBA
shape. That's not NBA shape.
Look, it may come to what Shaq is saying, but my thing is you don't have to make the decision now. You know, if I'm the NBA, I'm waiting. I don't know what their drop dead date is, but I'm waiting until, let's see, if you have to have, let's say, a 2 week training camp, and then another 2 weeks of whether it's exhibition games with the playoff teams or, you know, exhibition, you know, regular season games. You need a month before you would start the playoffs. And then depending on how you do the series, you know, I mean, the playoffs is going to last. It usually lasts from mid-April to mid-June. So what's that? April, May, June, 2 months. So you're going to need at least a month and a half. So you're going to need 2.5 months, right? So if I think you could perhaps end in September, you're going to have a December start, then you could maybe end it at, you could play to into late September. Then you got to forget that. I think the combine, I mean, I know they're talking about the draft combine. I guess you could have that during the finals and stuff during the playoffs, but you know, you got time for your draft, your free agency, and the players get a little bit of a rest, and then you start in December. So I guess you could start in August or late July, mid-July, I guess, is probably the latest you could start, mid-July. I just think you don't have to make the decision yet. Now, you don't want to wait until the very last moment, but you can wait, you know, a few, what's mid-May? You can wait another month, month and a half maybe, and then decide. I just don't think there's an urgency.
I hear you on that. I'm just saying, if you wait, can you wait two more months before LeBron can get back out? And I say LeBron because of the amount of time, you know, he's been off and how many years he's played. That's why I single him out. You know, What is this year, 17?
This is his 17th year.
You know what I'm saying, Chris? Just from that standpoint, is that fair to him to have him try to restart after being – idle for so long? I don't know. Maybe it works out for him. I think that's why Shaq, it just seemed like a long layoff. Like, baseball never got started. Obviously, right. Football hasn't started. There's a difference. I know they should be playing now, Chris, right? But they never got started.
Right.
Pitchers' arms, you didn't warm guys up and pitch guys, and now they haven't pitched for 2 or 3 months, and now you're going to start them up again. That's the only difference.
I do, and this may contradict some of what I said earlier, but I do think if you're a player, you want some, and they can still wait a little while, a few more weeks, but you probably want some type of closure.
At some point,
you're going to want to know, okay, are we playing or not? At some point, even for the guys like the LeBrons and who are, you know, have a chance to win the championship, at some point they're going to want to know, okay, are we gearing up for this year or next year? And, you know, again, you can wait several weeks. You don't have to make the decision just yet. But, you know, I just think for the players, man, to have gone through, Rob, it'll be like what we just saw for what, the last 4 months? Like, never happened. Right. Like, as great as LeBron played, it'll be like it never happened.
Right. That's exactly, you know, it. That what happened already, Chris, is really like long gone. I just can't even put any stock into anything that happened. It's been that long.
Let me ask you this. Let's say they have to cancel the season. Do you think they should give regular season awards? You know, MVP, coach of the year.
If you're not going to have a championship, you could easily just say we're going to forego everything. Because you didn't crown a champion. I would not have a problem if we just said, we're going to take the L on 2020, and we didn't give out. That was the year of the virus. Right. We didn't have any awards, Chris. There was no champion. I could accept that if you do it across the board.
That makes sense because, you know, when you look in the record book,
right, you'll say, what happened in 2020?
There'll be no MVP,
right.
So on and so forth. But there's a part of me that's like, you know what, though? I would like to see them still give the regular season awards. I mean, maybe that would mean something to the players. That would be some way of acknowledging what happened over the past 4 months, that it wasn't a total waste. You know, of course, the main thing is to crown a champion, but it wasn't a total waste. Ja Morant, you still were the rookie of the year. You know, whoever coach of the year, whoever, you know, Nick Nurse, you still were the coach of the year or whatever. You know, Giannis, you still were the MVP. I think I'd like to see that, but I'm with you. It makes sense if you just nothing across the board.